You're listening to the Garbage Pod.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Garbage Pod for the first day of 2013. That's right, it's New Year's Day. Hope you had a great Christmas, and I hope Santa brought you everything that you wanted. It's going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge show today. All will be revealed as we go along. Firstly, I'd like to point out about some changes to the Garbage Pod website, mainly on the Garbage Pod shows page. You may have noticed, if you do visit the website, that the two separate pages have disappeared, one for Garbage Pod shows and one for TGP extras. Well, I've actually condensed them into one page, but I've made it actually easier for people to find the podcast that they want to listen to. For example, I have archived all of the podcasts in date order, so you can find them that way. Or if you carry on going down the right hand side of the page, you will notice underneath the archive area there is a category area. Now, that means you can either choose Garbage Pod shows, TGP extra shows, or everything. So if you just want to listen to a TGP show or all the TGP shows, you can just click on TGP Extra and it will only list the TGP Extra podcasts. If you want to listen to the normal podcast, click on the Garbage Pod shows and it will only list those. So that's brilliant. It also makes it easier for me to send the listeners directly to the latest podcast when it comes out on the social media networks. Go there, have a look, see what you think. I'm quite impressed with it, but then I'm easily impressed. The show might sound a little bit different today. A reason for that is I'm using a different recorder. I've actually gone back to my Tascam DR07, so let me know what you think of the quality of that. The reason why I'm using it is over Christmas, I took my usual podcast recorder, the Sony, over to my family, because usually there will be some good content there, and I left the recorder in my father's car. I'm not going to be seeing my father for a little while, and so that left me without a podcast recorder. The DR07, as you probably heard in old episodes, the reason why I don't use it is that I dropped it on the floor, and it hasn't sounded right since, but hopefully this sounds okay for the show. What else have we got? There's a couple of NASA pieces that I wanted to play into the show. Firstly is this.
Happy New Year from the International Space Station. Welcome on board. I'm Kevin Ford, commander of Expedition 34, and I have two new crew members who just arrived aboard less than a week ago, ready to join me to get some science underway here in 2013.
Hi, I'm Chris Hadfield from the Canadian Space Agency. It is a tremendous privilege to be one of the new guys on board the International Space Station. C'est un privilège énorme d'être un membre ici dans la Station Spatiale Internationale. Et je vous souhaite une bonne année. I want to wish everybody a very happy new year. 2013 really promises to be a productive one for all of us on board the International Space Station.
Looking forward to the new year with hundreds of experiments still ongoing here on the space station, developing new materials, new devices that are smarter, lighter, more capable, and with commercial partners that will be joining us in this great endeavor. So, Happy New Year, Sonovim Godem.
Happy New Year!
So that was the new members of the crew of the ISS, the International Space Station, wishing you all a Happy New Year. The second piece I wanted to play is, well, as it's New Year's Day, it's got a party atmosphere, so I thought I'd play in this piece from NASA Johnson. And this is called NASA Johnson Style, and it's based around Psy's Gangnam Style. Let's see what you think.
NASA Johnson Style. Johnson Style.
two massive shots in Space Center. We are coming in hot, so don't burn up as we enter. We do science every day that affects your daily life. Throw them up for manned spaceflight. Science everywhere as we engineer the marbles that fly through the air and take us way beyond Earth's level. Science everywhere because we engineer the marbles that fly through the air, flies us through the air. Control the mission out of Johnson. This is ground.
Hey, this is space. Hey.
Tell me, Houston, what's the problem? It's okay.
Hey.
Oh, it's okay.
Hey.
Because the flight controllers are on the job today. NASA Johnson Star. Johnson Star. NASA Johnson Star. Johnson Star. F-F-F. NASA Johnson Star.
Hey, science
daily. F-F-F-F. NASA Johnson Star.
Hey, it's amazing.
F-F-F-F. NASA Johnson Star. Orbiting Earth. International Space Station, where we work and live in space with a crew from several nations. Got Japanese and Russians and that European charm. Throw them up like the Canada arm. Kicking out research. 29K cubic feet revolves around the Earth. Science microgravity revolves around the Earth. Columbus Jam and Destiny. Kicking out research. Kicking out research. Train the astro, not to Johnson, to go to space,
hey.
To go to space,
hey.
Cause the missions of tomorrow start today,
hey.
They start today,
hey.
As we engineer the future day by day. NASA Johnson Star. Johnson Star.
F-F-F-F.
NASA Johnson Star. Johnson Star.
F-F-F.
NASA Johnson Star.
Hey,
science daily. F-F-F-F. NASA Johnson Star.
Hey,
it's amazing.
F-F-F-F.
NASA Johnson Star.
Quiet more. SLS and PCV, we cannot feel the floor. Cause the lack of gravity, the destinations are an asteroid, Mars, or the moon. We are blasting off, start the countdown soon.
The ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey,
science F, 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 F. NASA Johnson Star.
Hey,
it's amazing.
F, 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 F.
NASA Johnson Star.
Well, I think it's absolutely brilliant because the idea of it is to try and get kids interested in NASA and science and things like that. And what about a better way to do it? I'll put a link up to the actual video for this because it is really funny, and it actually has cameo appearances from two of my favourite astronauts. Firstly, Mike Massimino, or Astro Mike as he's known on Twitter, and secondly, doing some rather dodgy dancing, is Clay Anderson, or Astro Clay as he's called on Twitter. Yeah, take a look on the website, show notes, and there'll be a link to the video there. Now we come to the main part of the show. Well, if you're a regular listener to the show and you heard the Christmas episode of the Garbage Pod, you will know that we had a couple of special guests on the show. And, well, what you heard on the show was edited down. There was a lot of content recorded during that session, and there was so much that we didn't actually use on that bit of the show. So I thought, well, I don't want to waste any of it, so here is the best of what was left. Some of it we have had to edit out because couldn't really broadcast it, but you can understand that. But here is Jimmy Hastell and Richard Vobes when we were talking to them about movies.
My mother told me,
Richard, it's all repeats. It's all old stuff on the telly at Christmas. More repeats.
It always repeats, Mum.
Oh, I don't like it.
It's from Monty Python, I'm not quite sure.
She used to play a part there, didn't she? Yeah.
So what DVDs have you got lined up?
I haven't actually got a list, so I'm just going to randomly pick one off my extensive pile. And
have you got a firm favourite that you like to watch, though, John? Or?
Oh, yeah, carry on, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Probably the Mummy Trilogy.
You're spending Christmas alone?
Oh, wait a minute, you said it then. What did you say?
The Mummy Trilogy. You know, the Mummy Returns and...
Mummy, Where's My Mummy?
Mummy!
Yeah, Mummy, Where's My Daddy?
Oh, yes, the Mummy Trilogy. It's funny, I like the first one, but the first one's got that big London red bus where they drive around in, don't they?
Yes.
Yes.
That one I like. The others...
I've actually been on that bus.
All the, you know, the second and the third, like Jaws.
You always feel like they're cashing in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mummy Trilogy. What else have you got? What else would be good for Christmas?
Let's have a look.
Go on, have a look. What is it for Christmas? You must have got something nice. Something nice. You've got a little film I could watch.
Yeah, Debbie Does Dallas.
I like Debbie, and I like Dallas.
She likes you too.
Oh, is she doing JR? Because she'll have a bit of a problem with him. Or that was stiff.
She likes it like that.
Keeping on that topic, the next show will probably be Deep Impact.
I remember when that came out because wasn't there the other? What was the other one with Bruce Willis that came out at the same time?
Armageddon. Oh, I cannot watch that film. There is so many. Scientific wrongs in that film.
I missed it. What was it called?
Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Right. Armageddon. Today. Oh, getting out of here.
That's the Australian version.
Yeah. with the didgeridoo. Okay, Skippy. What? There's a great big asteroid coming towards us?
You mean he can't get out?
Oh. We'll go down in one of the old mines. Yeah, no. Deep Impact was a much better film.
Yeah, it's as I say, Armageddon. There's a scene in there where they send two space shuttles up at the same time, and there's not a chance in hell you would have been able to, because the blast from one would have knocked the trajectory away from the other one. It would have just gone skew.
You know, I'm trying to think really hard of an intelligent question to ask these guys, and I can't.
Can you not?
I'm really annoyed. I'm sure there is a question that's, you know, really...
That's fine by us, because...
I can't think of it.
We're not intelligent. No.
We are 6 out of 20 intelligent, I'll have you know.
Three times in a row.
Creighton, what are you doing, man?
Oh, sir, I'm listening to the Garbage Pod. It's a podcast I found in the podosphere.
Tell you what I would love to see again, and I saw it at the cinema, I'd love to see it again. The Best Marigold, whatever it's called.
The Best...
Oh, is it the Marigold Hotel or something, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely bloody brilliant.
That I want to see it, I've not seen it yet.
Oh, film of the year for me. James Bond was absolute shite. But the Best Marigold Hotel was...
I can't believe this. You said that about Quantum of Solace. You said you would never go and watch another James Bond film again.
It's true. Yeah, but you know what? The hype was that this one was different and it was more Bond. And I agree, it was more Bond than Quantum of Flipping Solace and the previous Casino Royale. But it's still not a Bond. You know, they've lost the down in the blooming crater of something with the 500 men in boiler suits being
and
picked up.
And polystyrene rots.
And polystyrene rots and the monorail and, you know, the big thing and then a bit of John Barry's music, 007, at the end.
See, that's the other thing, you see. I mean, I quite liked Dave Arnold doing the music for the James Bond films, and they've got rid of him now.
I don't care. I like the new Bond.
I like him. I think he makes a good Bond. I just thought it was completely unnecessary to kill M. What was the point of that?
Oh, you've ruined it for me now. Oh. You've ruined it, you bastard.
I'm going to go and watch it just for that fact. I've been waiting for that to happen for years.
I mean, when Bernard Leed died in real life or no longer used, and M was substituted in. Who was it doing it then? It must have been.
John Cleese.
Not John Cleese as James Bond. Thank you so much! Right! Yes!
You'd be good!
Is this smurfing off? Right, thank you! Yes, Manuel! It would be so funny, James. He's too old to do it now. But who was the. What's his name? Who drove
his face.
You know, we did the tank, driving the tank.
Brosnan.
Piers Brosnan. She became M in Piers Brosnan's one.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
But you didn't need any explanation. You didn't need to know that she was suddenly a woman, M. You just accepted it. I don't understand why we've suddenly had to have her die so that we could just have, you know, a replacement. And then Moneypenny. And here was the thing. Sorry to go off on a bender. But here was the thing. Here you had him work. Have you seen the film, all of you?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Right, well.
Carry on.
Carry on.
I don't want to spoil
it. You ruined it for me anyway.
At the beginning, he's working with this black chick who's a very, you know, cool, nice, sort of sexy girl, but he doesn't have sex with her or anything like that.
Okay.
And she's very good and all the rest of it. And she ends up shooting him off this train.
Oh, nasty.
Anyway, you don't really see much of her until towards the end of the film. Pause that moment for a second. During the film, you suddenly see him reveal that he's got the Aston Martin car.
TV, lovely car.
Used in a previous film with Sean Connery with the machine guns and all the referencing back to a film that was not there. But, of course, this whole new James Bond is supposed to be, you know, rejigging Bond, so forget the other films.
Forget the rest, yeah.
They never happened. Here he is. But he's got this car that is in a film that he never was in, that now he had never been a spy, yet he's got this film, so he drives and does this. And then at the end of the film, the black chick he's been working with turns out to be Miss Moneypenny, who's in the previous films in the 1960s. I'm sitting there going, blah, 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 blah,
blah. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Shoot my brain up. And then they don't have the decency to have the, you know, the big Bond villain with all the bomb, bomb. Bum 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 bum.
Is that not Mission Impossible music?
No.
It might be, yes. He's on the roll, leave him alone.
I think he's gone back to Dr. No.
that is the it's called 007, that piece of music by James Barry.
There you go.
And it's used in a hell of a lot of the Bond films, and it came. And of course, the original sort of that one, you know, they kind of sort of semi used. It's not part of the Bond franchise. Like that, right?
This is a man who actually likes The Spy Who Shagged Me.
The Spy Who Shagged Me, and that whole. I wish Mike Myers would make another one.
He's supposed to be writing something. Actually,
hurry up and bloody write it and shoot the sunny thing.
We need one.
The one with Goldmember was a good one. I really like that one.
I loved the one because they used it at least in two where they used the silhouette stuff, didn't they? One in the tent and one behind the medical
room.
That's
right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's a classic Carry On stuff, that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's all
the old jokes, isn't it? But they work.
I remember I had a very big aversion to actually think, because I saw a trailer for it and I thought it was absolute rubbish from the trailer. and I didn't get it. And then my kids had it on, and I came into the room, and they were watching it one day, and I was so gutted that they liked it. And I had made this assumption, stupidly, from the trailer I had seen, and I was going, oh, no, you're not watching this rubbish, are you? And as I lingered in the room longer, I suddenly realised it wasn't what I thought it was, and actually it was really good. And I had to leave the room and said, I can't watch anymore because I want to watch this from the beginning. And when I did, I loved it.
It was a very...
Christmas film. That's a Christmas film.
It wasn't actually given a good write-up when it first came out, the original International Man of Mystery. But it got a kind of a cult status to it, and like students were watching it mainly, and
yes.
And then it kind
of
awesome.
But it is, isn't it? It's anything that's tongue in cheek and isn't taken too seriously becomes a hit, doesn't it? It becomes a cult following.
I wouldn't mind one of those fembots.
Yeah.
I don't think Harriet would be too pleased
about
that. Scotland in a pub, that would be brilliant.
Oh, yeah, the fat bastard.
Oh, fat bastard.
Yeah. Dr. Evil, I mean, it was just pure genius and with little mini-me.
Mini-me.
It was
mini-me.
Very good.
Stop humping the laser.
I should call it Preparation H.
Yes, that whole, and the whole, you know, we will ask them for £1 million. That was very funny. Very, very funny. Oh, blimey. No, I enjoyed that. That would be my Christmas film, definitely.
Yeah, Austin Powers, it might go on my list to watch.
Actually, when you say that, classic Bond. You can't have Christmas without a James Bond film.
Is there a Bond film scheduled up for Christmas?
There's bound to be somewhere.
One channel somewhere.
Yeah, if you've got Sky Movies, there's actually a Bond channel.
Oh, is there?
No.
Yeah, there's actually a 007 channel on Sky Movies.
I actually quite rate the George Lazenby one.
That was very...
Secret Service. I thought that was really good.
There was a lot of... double entendres in that film, I found.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was. It was very... I found that tongue-in-cheek, very tongue-in-cheek, that film.
I mean, I know he couldn't act for Toffee, that was the sad part of it, but I did like it.
Because I remember a time I was round at my auntie's and there was just me and my cousins just sat there watching it, and every 5 minutes or so we were laughing our heads off because something that he'd said, and my auntie said, well, what comedy film are you watching? We said, well, watching James Bond.
Bond, yes.
Now, there's a thing. The new James Bond with Daniel Craig, there isn't any humour. That's what's lacking. There might be the quip. There is the odd quip. But they're very, very remote and subtle and not. Whereas, back to Dr. No, there was some elements of humour. It may have been very wry, but there was, but it was very cold.
Yeah. I think it's because of the... They're trying to base it too much on the novels, where Bond wasn't a particularly nice guy. In the books, he was quite a ruthless killer. So
that's where it jars for me, because I haven't read the books, but I do like the franchise of the movies, and it's just sort of it grates.
Well, it's a little bit to me. I look at it in the same way that the Batman movies. Some people don't like them at all because they're dark and they're gothic. But that's how I read them in the comic.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, with the Batman franchise, you've seen your mum and dad killed in front of your eyes. What do we expect him to be like?
He's got to be slightly off balance, hasn't he?
Yeah.
All the way.
The new franchise is phenomenal. I think the new three films have been fantastic, especially the last one. Well, the middle one, The Dark Knight, that was...
I can't. I have to say, I'm one of those that was brought up on the Adam West.
Oh, he was
programmed, and that for me was. But I never read the comics, so I didn't know anything about that. And it was obviously it's a different film and a different type of thing. So I liked cheese.
Yeah, the Batman from the 1960s was had a class of its own, mainly because it was so camp. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Camp, and you know that the film where he's running around with a bomb and he can't get rid of the bomb because everywhere he goes there's somewhere to blow up. And that whole business about, we're stuck on a buoy out in the sea and there's sharks all around us. Holy ridiculous, Batman, what are we going to do?
Actually,
use Batman repellent shark spray.
In one of the... one of the other movie versions of it, there was a kind of a homage to that, where it was the first one when Robin was introduced, and there was a bit where they were on this boat or something like that, and it was falling to pieces, and Robin turned round to Batman and said, "Holy rusted metal, Batman," and he goes, "What?" And he goes, "No, it is holy rusted metal, Batman."
Which one was that? Was that when they first brought in Chris O'Donnell? That one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's, you know, it was an era of its time. And if you were brought up in that era...
Yeah.
For me, it was that was Batman.
Yeah, because I was the Michael Keaton version, because that's the one I grew up on, which was, again, a little bit darker.
Which it is a bit of useless trivia for you. It was the first actual film in the UK to have a 12 certificate rating.
What, Batman was?
Yeah.
Well, I'm less very surprised, really.
What year was it then, Mark?
89.
89? Wow.
Oh, is that the Mark Keaton one?
Yeah, Michael Keaton one.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just Batman and Batman Returns, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were the two he made.
What was his name? What was the guy at the Penguin? Meredith. What was his name? Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
The original guy. Yeah. In the original Batman film, don't they have? Do they not have all of the villains in that film, or is it just one of them?
I think they do have them all. They've all ganged up. The Riddler, the Joker, the Penguin, Catwoman.
Yeah.
It was about it, wasn't it?
The original Catwoman? Was that Eartha Kitt?
Was it?
Oh, hang on, yes, that rings a bell.
You're listening to The Garbage Pod,
where your input
is our output.
The Old Avengers, that was another good series, if we're going down memory lane of old TV series.
That was another thing they ruined when they made the movie version.
I never saw the movie version. I saw a clip
that was
a
trailer, awful.
And I thought, what's the point? Without Patrick McNee, I mean, they didn't do a bad job with Purdy and the coffee bloke, whatever his name was.
You're on about the new Avengers,
the rest of his life, did he?
Gareth Hunt.
He probably did lots of theatre. There was a number of those sort of people that just turned up. I mean, it's like with The Saints. They remade The Saint with Ian Ogilvy.
Well, I liked that because it was so cheesy.
Oh, I love the theme music. The theme music was the best thing about it. But I just thought he looked too boyish.
The movie version that they brought out, which was The Saint, was played by Val Kilmer, I think.
Was the film, and that was a load of old tosh. Because they always want to bung in sort of, you know, awful personal issues and character development and all the rest of it. And if you've read any... I mean, I read the books when I was a kid, and there was this whole... I love The Saint. There were lines like... He moved across the landscape, giving the impression that he was strolling, but actually covering huge amounts of ground. And you read that and you think, oh yeah, he was able to walk by taking massive strides, but looking as if he was strolling, but actually moving faster than he was, which is totally impossible
to
do.
That's like a Japanese movie, isn't it?
I know. And I remember when I, talking of that, I was brought up also, I read copious amounts of Bulldog Drummond. Did you ever read any of those?
I know of them.
By Sapper. The original books by Sapper. And then there was another guy who wrote them, and it would always go, Dave Fish, let's say. It wasn't local Dave Fish, but whatever his name. Gerald Furley, that was his name. Gerald Furley.
Sad, you know that.
Gerald Furley after Sapper, he used to say. And of course, as a kid, I thought, it's like after supper. Tapper was somebody in the military, wasn't he? He was in the First World War.
Military person, yes.
This question came up on University Challenge the other day as to what one part of the army calls a private.
Oh, is that what it? And that's a sapper.
It's none of your business.
Hugh Drummond was this big bloke, the ugly bloke, and he was able to walk through these houses, creeping along, absolutely silently, because he'd learnt these skills in no man's land during the First World War. And it was, you could go, I can believe that, not knowing what it was like in the First World War as a sort of 15-year-old boy, sappering up these stories. It was absolutely brilliant. I loved all that. What books did you read when you was a kid, Mark?
Oh, I read so many. The Willard Price books I used to like a lot. The African Adventure and the Underwater Adventure and this, that and the other.
Do you remember Marine Boy?
Oh, I've seen clips of it.
How old are you, Mark?
I will be 40 next year.
Oh, it's young!
Yeah.
So there's 10 years difference. Marine Boy. Do 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 do
do
do do do do. They were the days.
Bless him. His little face has gone red.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That'll
be the beer.
On Oxy Gum.
No, trust me, it's not the beer.
Oxy Gum. Used to be great.
Bring it back up the Thunderbirds. At least I know that.
Oh. Don't you remember
that
Marine Boy?
Oh. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, what was that thing they did that was based around Gerry Anderson's Super Wonder Car thingy, whatever it was called?
Yeah, Supercar?
No, well, it was based around that, but it was a spoof that Pete and Dud did, and it was so funny.
I love Pete and Dud, they were brilliant in many levels.
Yeah, sort of stuff that we cannot actually repeat on the air. Well, that's the end of the show. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback, so
send an email to garbagepod@virginmedia.com.
That would be fantastic if you could. You can also visit the website. That's for people who are not actually listening to this on the website. If you're listening to it on iTunes or via our RSS link, then feel free to drop by at www.thegarbagepod.weebly.com. There you'll find everything you need to know about The Garbage Pod. There's our biogs, there's the RSS feed, there's the show's pages, there's the video pages, there's the blog, and lots more. And there's also links there so that you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Well, that only leaves me to say, take care, one and all, and I'll speak to you again soon.
The Garbage Pod is a Spamhead production. Sure.